When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison. I am a contributor at NinerNoise.com, and here with me to celebrate the fact that the Niners did not lose this week is fellow Niner Noise contributor Chris Wilson. Chris, how are we doing, man?
I'm good. Enjoying that lack of losing. Feels good.
It's almost as good as winning. Not losing.
Yeah. Yeah. Not quite, but.
No, it's not quite the same thing, but close.
It is a lot better than getting blown out. So that was the first mostly stress-free Sunday of NFL football that I've watched in a long time.
I know. I actually turned on the local television station to just sort of watch the games that were happening that I was not at all invested in any way, shape, or form, which means from where I live, I got to watch the Panthers and Lions, which was
not really a football game, but
no. PJ Walker, the former XFL standout, was playing quarterback for the Panthers, and the ghost of Matt Stafford was playing quarterback for the Lions, who got shut out, first shutout of the NFL season. So there you go.
So funny thing is, I actually started two quarterbacks in that game.
Was it neither? You started both of them?
No, not both of them, but two quarterbacks in that game.
Neither, only one of which played, but he didn't even really play.
Yeah, unfortunately, Bridgewater, I learned, wasn't going to play 10 minutes before the game started.
Oh, and bummer.
The ESPN app did not do me good. Oh,
well, thanks, ESPN app.
Yeah, and then emails to the commish and texts to the commish did not do me good either. Yeah.
Well, and then Stafford didn't really play either.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, the league that I played Stafford, I lost in, and even though I had Bridgewater, I still won that game somehow.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
But it's sort of nice. The Niners were on bye, Seahawks and Cards on Thursday night, yep. And then the Rams didn't play until Monday night. So,
correct.
Of course, a Rams loss in Tampa would have been a nice ending to week 11, but what can you do? I can't really do too much about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at least we have finally reached Shinny's beloved bye week, which I believe means that we're finally allowed to start playing like we mean it again and win some football games.
I guess. So yeah, you mentioned the Seahawks and Cardinals game. The Seahawks won that game and the Rams did eventually beat Tampa Bay. But that means that the Rams are in first place. Go figure. Based on conference record, they're 7-3. The Seahawks are also 7-3. The Cardinals are 6-4, and the 49ers are 4-6, which puts them three games out of first and 11th place in the playoff seeding at this current moment before the three games on Thursday. I'm not sure if any of the matchups on Thursday have any. Oh, well, the Lions, I think, are in front of them in the playoffs right now based on conference record or something like that. So, you know, them losing to...
If we're worried about the Lions, we're in deep trouble.
That is true. But if they lose to Dallas... No, who are they playing? I don't know who they're playing. Dallas is playing somebody else. But if they lose their game, that might have some impact. But you got to get from 11th to 7th, which is going to be difficult and will probably require, as you talked about last week, overtaking whoever the third place team in the NFC West is, because it ain't going to be four teams from the same division. I don't think the math works out that way.
Yeah, because Tampa Bay and the Saints are both going to get
right,
in.
Right, right.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying, you know, three games out of first place. Well, we're not going to... Well, we're not going to make the playoffs, but we're not going to get first place in
the
division.
Yeah, the goal right now is to play a playoff game, maybe.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We're probably, at this point, going to travel to Philadelphia or something like that and play the winners of the NFC East, who will be probably under 500 at this particular point.
Oh yeah, it's almost a guarantee.
They all have three wins right now. It's incredible.
All four teams have a better likelihood of making the playoffs than we do. So that's great.
Also incredible.
I think that the Skins. Oh, can't say that.
The Washington football team
or whatever are playing the Cowboys, and the Lions are playing the Texans, I believe.
Oh well, so the Lions losing would make an impact, but it's not a conference thing, so it wouldn't immediately have an impact on the Niners.
Yeah, we'll still root for the Texans.
Yeah. The other sort of impactful thing that Sunday's games, well, this week's games had on the Niners is they moved up a couple of spots in the draft. And by moved up, I mean literally they went up to a higher number. They were at 12th going into the weekend, and they now sit at 14th. So the problem is that we have, unfortunately, further proof that we need to add a 49ers injury segment to the podcast, because even in a bye week, we have lost players, nothing long term, but we do have a problem with some players being lost for what may be this coming week. This is all COVID-19 list players, a list that is now longer than the Niners have had at any particular point this season. So the beginning of the week, or actually early last week, I guess, Eric Armstead and Javon Kinlaw were added to the list, and then came a flurry of names that were added to that list along with them, including Brandon Ayuk, Jaronis Grasu, DJ Jones, Joe Walker, Jordan Willis, Daniel Helm, and possibly worst of all, Trent Williams, who reportedly tested positive for the virus, which given his history as a cancer survivor, that's not good. Football aside, that's a dangerous situation for him. So you got to hope that he's healthy just in general, regardless of whether or not he'll be able to play on Sunday is another thing. So that list is not looking good. Unrelated to injury, it came out today that, this is crazy, that slot cornerback Quan Williams is to be suspended for 2 games for a PED-related incident. We'll get more on the PED thing a little bit later, which means that Williams, who is currently nursing an injury, will not be eligible to return. I don't know, because he's not on the IR, so that means that the next 2 games count regardless, right?
Yeah, so he can't play the next 2 games when he wasn't going to anyway.
Right, so that's actually fine. So if you're going to get suspended, I guess that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's actually like the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, it's like, great, cool. He wasn't actually going to play anyway, so it's fine. Joke's on you. So that, not ideal. Again, more on the PED thing in here in a little bit. Tack McKinley, who we talked about last week, he failed his second physical in as many weeks, and the Niners waived him, and then he was subject back to waivers, and the Raiders picked him up. So maybe the third time's the charm for Tack, I don't know. But at this point, it seems like there's something pretty big looming in his physical situation that two teams have said no thanks at this point for a relatively cheap pass rusher. You got to wonder what's going on there.
More jumbo NASCAR package, please.
Although kudos to Tack for his commitment to his Twitter game. I don't know if you saw this, but he has literally posted his last 6 things on Twitter have been the same tweets back and forth. One was about like, thanks to the Falcons in Atlanta. And then like, come on Bengals, let's go. And then he posted the exact same tweet that he posted about Atlanta, but about Cincinnati. And then he was basically in the just inserting the new city / team that he was playing for, which I thought was pretty funny.
He's like cutting and pasting.
Clearly on top of everything else. But so that's all the bad news. Chris, any thoughts there?
Only the Niners in 2020 can have injuries during the bye week.
That's totally true.
At least no one like slipped in their bathtub.
Yeah.
Something like that. But not like COVID is any better.
Right.
With the fact that all these false positives and all these precautions and stuff, hopefully it's a lot to do about nothing, especially for Williams.
The only thing that we know of for sure is Williams is the only one who's tested positive that we are aware of. Obviously, we were talking about this before we started recording. The player has to acknowledge the fact that the test has been positive. The team cannot. That's a HIPAA violation. So Trent Williams came out and made this announcement himself, but hopefully the rest of them are just sort of contact situations and they'll all be okay to go. And of course, hoping that Trent Williams is good to go, just regardless.
So is Mullins.
Boy. In other news, Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson both came off the IR today, which is good news. I actually am kind of surprised that Jeff Wilson came off the list. I didn't think he was anywhere near being ready to go. I don't think we have any information whether or not they're going to be ready to play or not.
No, that's not until Wednesday. I think it's the first day that they have to announce their injury report.
And I don't know about Debo either. I'm assuming he's good to go because they were pretty much confident that he would be ready to go for this week the whole time, and he had an extra week of practice, so we'll see. We still have not heard anything about Richard Sherman. His practice window was open before the bye week, but he has not actually been officially brought up from the injured reserve list, so that's got to be a little concerning because you would have thought with the extra time that he would have been one of the first people to come off the list, but this seems to be a pretty extensive injury, and I don't know. At this point, you got to wonder what his long-term situation is going to be and whether or not he's going to be even someone who can come off and be productive for this team at all. If it's taking this long to get him back to health, you got to worry about that. Same situation with Ben Garland. His practice window has not been opened up so far as I remember. Do you remember if that was the case?
I don't think that it has.
Yeah, so he is still on IR with no information about whether or not he'll be coming back. Speaking of the offensive line, Weston Richburg still on the PUP list.
You keep talking about this guy. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, he still exists. Same with Ronald Blair, who's on the defensive line. But man, it'd be nice to have him back for this last couple of games. But I'm not holding my breath, although I did write about it this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
During the bye week about him being a player that would be nice to have. Although at that moment, I thought McKinley was going to be on the field as well. So I was like, well, maybe we can get McKinley and Blair, and that would be great. Just having Blair would be good, but I'm not counting on a whole lot at this point. A couple more bits of news, and then we'll get into more things here. They signed safety Chris Edwards, which to me just sounds like a made-up name because it's just kind of like the most normal like name of all time. Chris Edwards, like this is a guy that plays for our team.
Yeah.
The only reason I knew...
It's definitely a witness protection program name.
for sure. He was with the team from January to August. Go figure. I don't remember that being the case.
So the CIA says.
Well, that's what 49ers.com said.
No, they got in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's brought in because obviously injuries to Jaquaski Tart and the injury to Jonathan Cyprian that we talked about last time. So they just need safety depth at this point. And then they added safety Kai Nakua and wide receiver Sean Poindexter to the practice squad. They fill spots left by Jared Maben and Juwan Jennings, who are both on the practice squad injured reserve list. So lots going on there. That's been the last couple of days. And then the last bit is good news and doesn't have any bad news related to it at all. Congratulations to John Lynch, who is the 49ers general manager currently, and former 49ers players Bryant Young and Patrick Willis. They were named as semifinalists for next year's Hall of Fame class. So that's really cool. All deserving players. I'm really surprised John Lynch is not in yet. He's gotten passed over several times, and I'm hoping he'll get in here soon. And then Bryant Young and Patrick Willis would be nice to see them get in as well.
I'm not really sure what's going to happen with Willis because it's the kind of thing where you sort of need to get him in like maybe on the first shot because otherwise he gets into the Bryant Young mode of being passed over and waiting and waiting and waiting. So he's definitely a guy who deserves it. And if you compare him to a lot of the linebacker greats over the years, he's played as much and played as often and played better. If you compare it to guys like Dick Butkus, he's played a similar amount of games, and he, along with Frank, were the two bright points of the Niners franchise for many, many years, and it's unfortunate that he stepped away when he did, but, you know, I understand it, and did it for himself, did it for his family, did it for himself.
Yeah, for sure.
But the teams definitely suffered for it. He was a good guy from everyone that I know who knows him, and he's probably been my favorite player to watch since I've become an adult and watched the team at the level that I do watch them. I'm definitely hoping that he gets in. And Bryant Young's sort of like a no-brainer. Why is he not gotten in by now?
Yeah, it's hard to understand that. Patrick Willis is only his second run on the Hall of Fame list. Did he make it to the semifinalists last time? I don't think so. I think this is the first time he's got it into the sort of finalists list here.
Yeah, I didn't even know that he was up last year. So he definitely didn't make it to this point.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully be hearing good news for all those guys. This class also includes guys like Peyton Manning and Megatron. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. So, Chris, question for you. Are we allowed to do a one up, one down for the bye week? Because as you mentioned before, in true 2020 49ers fashion, this bye week has been like literally full of stuff. So what do you think about that?
This has been the Niners' mission is to get to the bye week. So I think we sort of have to. Yeah. But if USA Today, Niners Wire can come up with a top bye weeks in 49ers history article, which is sort of serious and sort of not, but then they seriously published it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a slow news week.
Yeah.
But I have full faith that we can come up with a pair of 49er ups and downs for the Niners bye week.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do it then.
Yeah, let's do it.
Rapid fire, up, one down for the 49ers bye week. Chris, up.
All right, up. I got to go on. And it's not just that we didn't lose.
that's good.
So my one up is confirmation that the true GOAT, 49ers Hall of Fame wide receiver, Jerry Rice, must be a huge fan of the Niner Noise podcast.
Oh.
Did you happen to hear his interview on Monday with 95.7 The Game?
I did not, no.
Well, my main man, Jerry, who sort of turned me on to the 49ers initially, said exactly what you and I have been saying all year long, like from the beginning up until last pod. A, he called out Shanahan's play calling as being way too predictable. B, he said, as you have said, including last week, that the 49ers need to get their running game back on track. And C, he said Shanahan's Niners need to stop running so much on first down. So he might as well have been on this pod like all year long, where he is quite welcome whenever he wants.
Could we?
Because I know you're listening out there, Jerry.
Could we make that happen? Jerry, come hang out with us. We know you're on the West Coast, but we'll stay up.
Yep, absolutely.
We will.
24/7.
No problem. Yeah, we'll do it whenever you want. You just call us.
And we know that you understand the aspects of play calling that we also understand, but Shanahan is yet to figure out. And needs to figure out, like yesterday. So it was very nice to hear the GOAT repeating our words of wisdom, which I'm sure he came up with on his own, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'll pretend that it's us.
Yeah, let's do that. I like that.
And for me personally, it's even more important because it's just confirmation that contrary to popular belief, I am not crazy.
Well,
at least not about this.
That doesn't mean that you're not. It just means just
about this.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that. That's fair.
Okay. That's my up.
I like it. My up is that no one, as you said, slipped in the shower or broke an arm or did anything that would have resulted in another trip to the IR. We did have players go on the injured reserve list after the Saints game, but since that game happened, nobody else has gotten hurt. Now, some of that may be related to the fact that they haven't been practicing because they're on a bye week. And so there's no opportunities for, say, anyone to have a non-contact ACL injury.
With us, there's always a chance. So I think that's a huge up.
That's what I'm saying. So big up on that. Yeah. So that's my up.
All right.
I have nothing further to say. Chris, down for you.
All right. Let's bring some negativity to this podcast. Our team sucks.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So my down actually is not a down for the 49ers. It is a down and a message to the NFL and the league's powers that be.
Jerry, if you're listening, could you send this on to your buddy Roger? Thank you.
Yeah. NFL, it sure seems like you have it out for us from the crazy officiating in a certain game in February to putting half of our team out due to a false COVID test and then making us play anyway, to allowing Greg Dirtbag Bountygate Williams to coach in this league and then letting him target our quarterback for injury, which he was successful in doing, while your refs called these ludicrous penalties on us for playing by the rules to a T when we're tackling Drew Brees, yet we destroyed his inside somehow. So NFL, stop being like Greg and stop targeting our players, particularly our pride and joy, wide receiver Deebo Samuel. NFL, stop drug testing Deebo. He's played less than 4 games. He's had 6 quote-unquote random drug tests. That's not random. We're not stupid.
It's a little suspicious.
A little suspicious.
A little bit.
And he passed all of them. Let it go.
And he hasn't played in 3 weeks.
And the first day back, he gets, just give me a break. This is beyond absurd. You just need to get over it. He's not taking PEDs. He's just a freak of nature. So NFL, just accept it. Deebo is awesome.
Yep.
It's obvious that this makes you quite upset, but you're just going to have to grow up and accept it.
You are. Look, I saw someone tweet about this. It was just some random person. I don't know who they were. About the Quan Williams PED suspension. And they were like, wait a minute. Has anyone seen DK Metcalf? And then we're suspending Quan Williams for PEDs.
Yeah, I wonder how many random drug tests he's had.
What's his deal? that man is huge. Like, nobody's questioning that. Nobody. Okay, cool.
It's not natural.
No, it's just large. So speaking of bizarre things that the NFL seems to be trying to attack the 49ers for, did you see the situation surrounding the Ravens-Steelers Thursday night game that's coming up here on Thanksgiving Day?
Perhaps, but go on.
Yeah, so the Ravens have had, and this is your neck of the woods, right? So the Ravens have had five positive tests, 10 in total, five.
I didn't do it, though. I had nothing to do with it.
Five players that have tested positive. Of course, those names have not been made common knowledge or anything like that, but the game is still planning on being played. I have seen information noted about, like, the fact that if there were any more positive tests, that they might go ahead and postpone the game.
Wait, whoa, I didn't think we did that anymore.
Well, maybe.
I guess it depends who you are.
Yeah, I guess if you're the 10-0 Steelers and the 6-4 Ravens in a divisional matchup on Thursday night when you're one of three games as opposed to one game of one game on Thursday night, maybe you get treated a little bit differently. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, if they push that game back, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
I would love to hear their excuse as to why.
I would. Now, we don't want anybody to hear this as like we think that the 49ers would have beat the Packers if they had played on Sunday night instead of Thursday night.
Yeah, it just would have been watchable. Maybe.
But yeah, the game would have been better, probably.
For everybody, too. It's like,
for sure. It was a disaster.
We talked about this. I can only imagine what the numbers were for that game because nobody was watching. I didn't even want to watch it. So, yeah, it was worse than a preseason game because it counted.
It was.
Even though we had our preseason players in there.
Yeah, for sure. We did. Yeah, so that is related to my down. Also, the down is just the COVID list and how long it is for us at this particular moment. And before, at least with the Bourne situation, like all those players that also came up on the list, like Ayuk and Samuel and Trent Williams, at least they were all kind of like connected to one another. And you can sort of see like how that works. Like three of them are wide receivers and the other one is an offensive lineman. So at least they're all offensive players. In this case, we have four defensive linemen, two offensive linemen, a linebacker, a tight end, and a wide receiver. Like, it's all over the place.
Yeah, and some of those guys were held out of the game before, so they're probably just hanging out with the same people. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's so weird.
I don't know, man.
And it's not good. It's not good. So we'll see what happens. I think that game is happening regardless of how long the list goes.
Oh, yeah. They're not moving any of our games back. If they're not going to move that Thursday night game back, then we're out of luck.
For sure. Yeah. All right. Well, so that was our one up, one down for the bye week. Great job, bye week.
Hey, we did it.
Even you sucked the life out of this season. That's that. All right. So next week, as we have already alluded to, the 49ers head to sunny Los Angeles to take on the suddenly in first place Rams for a rematch of what would probably be arguably the best game the Niners have played all season in a basically win or else contest for the Niners. I think that's fair to call it that. So, Chris, what is one thing that the Niners need to replicate from that victory to win again on the road in Los Angeles?
All right. So like last time, we need to get Goff to forget how to throw and Cooper Kupp to forget how to catch. And then we're money.
Oh, okay.
And while that would be fantastic, I don't think you could really bet on that.
No.
So I'll answer your question a little less flippantly.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Anytime. So the Rams undefeated at home. That's not good.
Nope.
And the Rams are a top 10 NFL team. But they don't have any top-tier standout players on offense, nor do they have a rocket scientist under center. So the Niners' game plan for victory needs to be the same game plan that they used last time and the same game plan by the other two teams that have beat them, which is force the Rams into all their three losses. And that is score early and often, and then make the Rams a one-dimensional football team. So in their three losses, which were to Buffalo, to us, and Miami, the Rams went to the locker room down by 18, 15, and 18 points, respectively. So we sort of know how to beat them, and that's like beat up on them early. Now, whether we can do that, who knows? But if the 49ers allow the Rams to control this game, it's going to be a blowout. So we need to build a 2+ score lead and then close our eyes and try not to have multiple heart attacks while Shinny plays the clock for the rest of the game.
Yikes.
But the blueprint is there. But the blueprint is sort of difficult. If anyone can just go up on 18 medium points in the first half, and they'd win a lot of football games.
Yeah, for sure.
If that were the case, then yes, the Rams would not win any games, but that's not the way it works in the NFL. But we have played fairly well when Shanahan has scripted his plays.
Yeah.
Because it forces them to pass the ball on early downs. Jerry Rice is pleased by that. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it's going to be a tough one. And if we don't jump out to that lead, I think it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, I agree. The second part of that is on the other side of the ball, and that is attempting to scheme Aaron Donald out of the game, much like they did in the first matchup. Now, a lot was made of Daniel Brunskill's performance in that first game, and I think he played well.
He was Aaron Donald's father during that game.
That's my understanding as well, yes.
He adopted him.
But it certainly was not Brunskill on his own stopping one of the best defenders in the NFL. It was all about Shanahan scheming up ways to keep Donald from wrecking the game. And it wasn't as if they didn't completely isolate him and take him completely out of the game. He made an impact, but it wasn't the level of impact that he is capable of having on the game. And so, you know, Shanahan was able to scheme Donald to have less of an impact, and he was able to really take advantage of the deficiency on the Rams defense, which continues to be in the middle of the field with the linebackers. They still have a good secondary, especially Jalen Ramsey at the cornerback position, who has shut down a number of receivers that have plagued the Niners this season. Most recently, I believe DK Metcalf, who he held to like nothing. But to me, that's really the only shot that the Niners offense is going to have. The problem being two things. One, you can't try to plan the same way that you did last time. So you can't just be like, okay, well, last time we did this, so let's just do it again and everything will be fine. Because I think Aaron Donald is smart enough to know better, and he'll be watching the game tape from last time to try to figure out what it is that the Niners did to him and try to figure out how to defeat that. So it's got to be a different plan.
My guess is that he will line up a lot more on the outside.
Oh.
Especially if Trent Williams is not in the game.
Yeah, that's true. If school's out there, then
he would have his sweet way if he lines up on the left side. And I think that's a lot of how he had success later in the game, is by, it's like, all right, I'm just not going to go up against Brunskill anymore because Brunskill is my dad.
Yeah.
So Justin School is not Aaron Donald's father.
No, not at all. The other issue being, of course, that two major players in these offensive success that the Niners had in that first matchup. Chris, would you like to take a stab at who those players were?
Who was good against them?
Yeah.
Maybe Jimmy G and George Kittle?
Yep. And what is the problem with that being those two players being so successful last time?
Oh, last time compared to this time?
Yeah.
They were playing?
Yes, that's the fact right there. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So they will not be playing in this game on Sunday because of injury. So that's a problem. So what you're asking is you have to A, scheme Aaron Donald out of the game in a different way than you did last time, and B, count on Nick Mullins and Jordan Reed to somehow become a facsimile of what Garoppolo and Kittle did in the first matchup. That's no problem, right? That's totally doable.
Sounds simple.
Yeah, seems reasonable.
And they're really going to need Williams to make that happen, or otherwise this is getting messy.
Yeah. If Trent Williams is not out there, we already saw what that looks like. And that was against, no disrespect to the Packers defense, but that was against the Packers defense, who has some good players, but they do not have Aaron Donald, and the Rams do, and that's a problem. Especially if Trent Williams cannot play for whatever reason.
I'm sure he'll be out there if he can, but He's going to be a key to this game. So hopefully he is healthy for himself and for the team.
Yep. All right. Well, time to get into prediction. Prediction time is back. It took a week off and now it is back for this upcoming matchup. So as I noted, the Niners need this game to stay alive in the playoff hunt. Talked about this last time. I think if they want to stay in the playoff race, they can really only afford another, what, maybe two losses, do you think, at that point?
Yeah, I was looking at earlier. I'm thinking 9-7.
Is 8-8 going to do it?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're already 4-6.
Yeah, it really depends on what happens in the NFC West. And then the other teams would just have to fall apart. So
right.
You're really shooting for 9-7 here. And I think 9-7 will get it done.
Yeah, but that's only one more loss in the next six games. So,
I mean, if it were last year, that'd be easy. But
yeah, for sure.
But we reached the bye week, so we can play again.
All right, enough of you. you know, so this is really make or break, do or die kind of stuff here, and I'm sure the team is very aware of that. And again, they played their probably one of their best overall, if not the best overall game of the year, against the Rams a few weeks ago. But again, having Garoppolo and Kittle out there, who are two players that they definitely won't have this week, and then with Debo and Ayuk and Mostert being questionable at best right at this point, I'd say Mostert coming off the IR is good news, but you know, is Ayuk going to be able to come off the COVID list? Is Debo ready to go? Like, if these players don't play, those last three, obviously the first two are not going to play, then it doesn't, I think it's going to be too weak of an offensive unit to accomplish anything. And as you recall, the Rams victory last time was definitely on the strength of the passing game. You know, it's going to be something they're going to have to lean on, because Mostert wasn't actually even very effective against the Rams. And that was the game that he got hurt in, as you may recall, the second time. So he was actually having just an okay game when he went out. And so the Rams really focused in on stopping the run, and the Niners were able to take advantage of it via the passing game. And, Debo and Ayuk being out there is going to be the only way they're going to be able to replicate that even a little bit. You know, having Mostert back will be great. Obviously, we've talked a lot about that, but it just kind of makes you really nervous. The defense, barring any of these COVID players not being able to go, is going to be mostly the same. That's really the good news here, is that it will be mostly unchanged from the team that played the Rams, you know, pretty well in the first matchup. And so what it's going to come down to is if the defensive unit can play as well as they did against the Rams the first time, and really as well as they did against New Orleans, then it's really going to come down to, can the offense score enough points to win? And my guess would be, as of this moment, based on what we know, and we'll know more later in the week, but as of what we know, and this is Tuesday night before the game, it's hard to see what is essentially Nick Mullins, Jordan Reed, Kendrick Bourne, Richie James, Trent Taylor. I mean, not an offensive group that is going to inspire a lot of hope.
Other than Richie.
Right. But, and you know, maybe Richie, if he has not been completely tapped into the doghouse after last week. But I think it's either going to be one of those things where, like last week against New Orleans, where if the offense had just done a little bit more, they could have won the game. Or the other side of that is they just get blown off the field. I'm going to tend to lean in the first direction, mostly because the second direction is sad. And so I am going to say that the game will end a little bit closer. I'm going to go Rams 28, Niners 20, all the field goals.
I think the Niners are also going to have to win the turnover battle, which has been a factor in every one of the Rams losses. And Jared Goff does love turning the ball over, especially when he's down. I believe they won the turnover battle last time they played, and they've had multiple turnovers in all their losses. Other than the Niners game, I think they just had one, but the other two, I think they had four and then two. So that's a major factor. And, you know, like I said, they don't really have a lot of stars on their team. Stat-wise, it's not too sexy on offense. They do obviously have some stars on defense. So, like I said, if they want a chance, it's going to be jumping out to a lead like they've managed to do, even against some better teams. And maybe it's a positive that Shanahan has a player in Aaron Donald that he needs to game plan against, and he knows it, and everybody knows it. So maybe we'll get good Shanahan as opposed to evil Shanny. Maybe that will actually work in their favor. But I'm still not very positive about this game. So let's check out the line. Originally, Rams by 7.5. It's down to 7, and the over-under was 47 down to 45. So 7, 45, that's 26 to 19 Rams. One score, not too bad. I think that we're going to need to keep the Rams around 20 points to win this game. And until I actually observe Shanahan making an honest attempt to win a football game, then my money is going to continue to be on the opposing team. So I'm going to go Rams 27, Niners 17. And that 17 could happen from a Shanahan really, really wanting to score at the end of the game and not look so bad, or it could be a straight up 17. And I really hope that I'm wrong.
Yeah, me too. The thing is, we're kind of right both in that same basic area in terms of points allowed and points scored. Yeah, I think we're just being honest with ourselves, Chris, at this point.
Goff just needs to have a bad game and the Rams need to turn it over.
You know, he's definitely due for one of those.
Goff was horrible when we played him last time. He was horrendous.
I think he's only been really good like once against us since Shanahan has been here. Like even the year when they went to the Super Bowl, I feel like he was kind of like, eh.
We beat them this year. We beat them both times last year. And we beat them one other time.
Yep.
At the end of the season.
Yes, we beat them the last game of the season. Was that the Super Bowl year? Yeah, because they had already clinched the number one seed, I think. That was the year they went to the Super Bowl, I believe. And they trotted out their backups, and we were like, well, fine.
Wasn't it 17 with Garoppolo?
No, I think it was the 18.
I feel like we've had them last game both 18 and 17.
Maybe.
Well, either way, during the McVay Shanahan era, we are currently 4-3, and we've won either our last three games, or you're saying four games. Regardless, it makes us 4 wins and 3 losses over those 4 seasons. And that's fairly remarkable given the respective talent levels of our teams over those 4 years. And if I'm remembering correctly, two of those games didn't matter. And we split those two games. So we've sort of had their number. And this game matters. It's another thing that Rice said during his interview. So why is that, Rice? Come on over, Jerry.
He is.
Come on,
Jerry. Thanks for listening, Jerry. Come on, thanks for listening, Jerry.
Yeah, is that he said that this is pretty much a playoff game for the 49ers.
And to be fair, that's actually true for the Rams a little bit too, because the division is so close. And the NFC number one seed is so wide open at this particular point. Like every time you think somebody's going to grab it by the horns and run with it, nobody does. Like, you know, the Packers go out and lose a game on Sunday. Who did they lose to? They lost to
the Colts.
Like, you know, the Colts are a good team, but you know, if you want the number one seed in your conference, that's a game you got to win. You know, the Bucks go out and lose to the Rams, who are one of their teams they're competing with for the number one seed. You know, the Saints are going to be without their starting quarterback for a couple of weeks, and we don't have to get into that. The Rams, I tweeted this out to somebody last night after the Monday Night Football game. The NFC is getting smashed in the Super Bowl almost for sure. Unless some random team, like if the Titans somehow get into the Super Bowl through the AFC, like, but if it's the Steelers or the Chiefs or one of the top teams in the AFC, I just don't think that any of the NFC teams are true contenders. There's every single one of them has a like major problem that you look at it and you're like, okay, well that's going to be exploited by somebody who knows better kind of thing. But
Kansas City and Pittsburgh seem like they're so far out ahead of everybody else. Otherwise, we're talking like the Titans and Indianapolis and Vegas, like give me a break. Like Miami and Buffalo, you know, come on.
Yeah, for sure. If it's those teams, then I think it's a better competition. But right, if it's Pittsburgh or the Chiefs, I think it's almost for sure a blowout, but which won't be good for the bottom line. But again, the whole point being that this game is important to both teams, and it's just a matter of the Niners need it to keep their season alive. The Rams are probably going to get into the playoffs one way or the other at this point. You know, they could lose out and finish 7-9 and not make the playoffs, but it seems unlikely.
Yeah, very unlikely.
But they have got to think about that only one team gets a bye this year. And I guess moving forward with the 7-team playoff system. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see which team that matters to more at this point in the season. And the Niners coming off a bye and the Rams coming off a short week, which, you know, shouldn't be discounted, but is something to keep in mind for sure. So we'll see how that goes. Yep.
By the way, did you see the way that Kansas City just drove down the field in like 15 seconds and scored a touchdown?
I did not, but it doesn't surprise me.
That is exactly what would have happened if Garoppolo had hit Sanders on that touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. And then I would have cried. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that's exactly what would have happened.
100%.
And still stand 100%. By that. That's just, it was yeah. such a bad play call. It's like, what are you trying to do? Because just don't give Mahomes the ball. He's just too clutch right now in his career. And
yeah, for sure.
Maybe he'll be clutch for his entire career, but definitely not right now. Just, you can't give him the ball with a minute plus on the clock because he's going to beat you.
Well, thanks for bringing up that bad memory, Chris. I appreciate
it. Yeah, whatever. I think I talked about it like twice. That's a podcast. So.
You have. All right. Well,
coming to terms with it.
You got it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. As always, check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.